Nation resumes. I hand over to Advocate Mbofu.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, ma'am. Yeah, I was saying that I think you got the gist of what I was saying. I was saying I accept that technically, at a technical level or at a legal level, what you were challenging was the deviation from the recommendation of the chairperson of the DC. But I was trying to illustrate that your real intention, and you, I think you've answered part of the question, was what you call, what you say was looking for fairness. And I was illustrating to you that if the public protector had said, I'm not accepting this recommendation, I'm actually removing the entire sanction, or I'm reducing it to 1 month instead of 3 months, surely you must, at a logical level, you would not have gone to the labor court to challenge her decision. Agreed?
Agreed. Went to the labor court because the public protector was seeking an adverse decision that was not in line with the policy.
Ma'am, sorry, I think there's something, it's not, it's your computer, I think, that is failing. Can you just repeat that, please?
I am saying we approached the labor court because the public protector was, actually the letter was very clear that the public protector has decided to implement that sanction. So we approached the labor court because the public protector was taking a decision that was unfair and it was not in line with the disciplinary code.
Okay, I'm gonna try again. Okay, either you don't understand the question or you don't want to answer it, but I'll just try again. Even if I accept what you're saying, do you agree with me that had the sanction that you was putting been more lenient, you would not have challenged it just for the principle of it?
Advocating both, my response has been that as an employee, you are concerned about fairness, which is guaranteed to you in terms of the constitution. So if yes, that decision was fair under the circumstances, probably I would not have challenged it. But I think what is clear is that we shouldn't miss the point and the essence of why did we go to the labor court. The reason why we went to the labor court was to say, fine, you have found us guilty. The policy says you must take the report of the chairperson and is submitted for final implementation to the public protector. And we wanted the labor court to rule and to adjudicate on that particular point to determine whether we were correct or whether the public protector was correct.
And you also say that from a reading of the letter and interpretation of the letter, it sounded as if she had already taken a decision. That's another issue you wanted to clarify with the court, correct?
Correct.
So in the same vein, if she didn't say that, if she said, I've not made any decision at all, I just am contemplating dismissing you and I'm inviting you to make representations why I should not do that, you would not have gone to court?
But that is not the question in this matter, okay, Timbo. The facts on this matter is that there was a letter and we took our decision based on that, on what was presented to us.
Yes. And is there any reason why you did not accept accept the invitation of the public protector to make representations?
Because it was not in line with the public protector disciplinary code.
Pardon?
it was not in line with the disciplinary code as approved by the public protector.
Yes, but even that is a representation. You could have said that. You could have just said, no, that we, exactly what you've just said now, in explaining yourselves, because you were just being given the right to a hearing, an open-ended one. Surely that would have been cheaper than spending money on the labor court.
The main point is that we had to protect our rights as employees, and under the circumstances, we did not agree with the approach that the public protector was taking, and the only way that we can enforce our rights as employees was to approach the labor court on an urgent basis for a ruling, for a court ruling.
Yes.
Because clearly we do not agree with the, whether the public protector said, we do not agree that was in line with the policy. So we couldn't make any submissions, even to say to the public protector, we don't agree with you, because it would amount to making the submission. So we approached a forum that would adjudicate on the point that clearly we're disagreeing with the public protector on.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, I'll move on. But again, maybe it's either you don't understand or there's another problem. I'm saying
I do understand.
You do. Okay. Let me just unpack it here. I agree with you that you wanted to enforce your rights, and it's a free country. You can enforce your rights in whatever manner you like. All I'm just exploring with you is the following. Remember, when she was giving you the right to make representation, that's also a right, a constitutional right. Understand? Audi is a right in its own right, correct?
An Audi is a right, you are correct. But
yeah.
Every action is subject to limitations. And in this instance, the limitation was coming from the disciplinary code. So whether the public protector was entitled to issue that Audi has to be interpreted within the confines of the disciplinary code. It cannot just come from any other prescript, because the disciplinary code was there to regulate the manner in which the employer meted out discipline to employees.
Yes. Okay. Last attempt. I'm saying that if she was giving you a right which you could exercise by simply writing a letter to her, surely at a logical level, that's an easier way to exercise that right than exercising the same right by going to a court and paying lawyers and all sorts of things, when you've already been granted a free right, if you like, to make representations. Understand?
No, there was that right. It was illegal. It was not in line with the Public Protector Act. So you cannot call a right, as far as I'm concerned. The public protector might have seen it as a right, but as far as we're concerned as the employee, it cannot be a right that is not in line with the policy, especially that it was subjecting us to a process that is unfair.
Right. Okay. Now, you know the public protector. Okay, before we even go there, the other theme that I will explore with you tomorrow is something which was raised in this committee on day one by Honorable Hendricks. And I think you are the ideal witness for us to explore that angle. Namely, to what extent, as we hold the public protector accountable, to what extent do we also hold the people who reported to her accountable? You accept that constitutionally, the public protector is accountable to parliament, but you, And when I say you, I don't mean just you individually. You as the people who report to her and the people who report to you must also be held accountable and maybe responsible for your own actions and misdemeanors, correct?
Correct.
Okay. And it wouldn't be completely fair to visit her with consequences of your misconduct, for example, correct?
Look, that is a question that is dependent on the circumstances. That is a question that is dependent on the circumstances of each case. Mm. More in particular, who was the decision maker?
Mm.
Because within the space in the public protector, each one of us have got different responsibilities. And so it will be dependent on who made the decision under the circumstances.
Yes. No, I understand that. And by saying what I'm saying, I'm not absolving the public protector. The proverbial buck stops with her. I'm simply saying testing whether people like you who fall into the next layer would be prepared to take your share of the responsibility where the blame lies with you.
Earlier on when I introduced, I said, if it is clear that I have to be held accountable, I cannot shy away from being held accountable for my conduct, but fairness has to prevail, meaning that you have to take into consideration the entire circumstances that prevailed.
Hmm.
And okay, I believe the public protector is also equally afforded that opportunity. The reason why we are here is to afford the public protector that same process of being fairness and determine her accountability under the circumstances. So I am saying there's nothing wrong with me being held accountable, but the overall circumstances that prevailed needs to be taken into consideration.
Okay. Maybe.
Some joke, Nick.
Okay.
Just pause. How's Mukhalabi?
Chairperson?
He's speaking to the chair, yeah. Just try again. Come closer to your PC, laptop. We don't want to miss anything you say. We really want to get everything you say. So sometimes it just, there's a break up and we catch up, we catch you up later. We don't know whether the problem is with you here or here in our system, but we are trying to figure it out. We're almost there.
Can I request a 5-minute break to request our IT to adjust the laptop? During the break, we were requested to reduce the volume, to adjust it to reduce the volume. Can I call him back to readjust it?
Okay, we'll do that. We'll do that, Advocate Mpofu.
Yes, that's fine. I'm only left with a few minutes anyway.
That's fine. We'll give you that 4 minutes, 5 minutes break.
Thank you.
Just adjust. It could even be before that. Just attend to it.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Gondwe. Gondwe, you can you had a short tea. You can go back again.
Recording stopped.